particular sermon was preceded by a testimony shared by one sister of her church. Just a short while back, while I was leading today's worship before this service, and I told everybody to look at a person next to you and say, God loves you and I love you by the love of God. The reason I'm saying that is because last Thursday night we had this sermon focused on dealing with our old self, and which was really a very, very important message for myself. And on my way back last Thursday night, I just had this communication with one of the sisters of our church. And during our conversation, I all of a sudden realized that I was counting the wrongdoings of other people in the church. And I find that it's wrong. I had this feeling, it's wrong. So I just briefly confessed my sins, asked the help from the Lord to help me to deal with this. All of a sudden I realized that I was not only counting, but I also was listing the wrongdoings, the weaknesses of other people. So, and that was no good. That was just out of service, which concentrated, which focused on the topic of dealing with ourselves. And right now, I sense that I have this aspect of myself needs to be dealt with. So I just went home, and it's the first time I couldn't go to sleep, even though I just confessed my sin before the Lord. Then the next day, during my work, and I did not enjoy this peace for the whole day. Then Saturday morning, I went to the prayer meeting of the church. I realized that many people were just waiting, very silently waiting on the Lord. And I did the same thing, but while I sat, I just heard other people just started praying. And I just opened my eyes. I realized that one of the sisters was one Thursday night we were talking about her. I had this bias against her. I have this bad feelings about her. That's because a year or two back, during our just prayer meeting, she had this gesture which made me feel quite bad. It made me feel she just slighted one other member of the church. So I had this biased feelings against her. So that night she prayed, and that made me feel bad about this sister again. Even though I had this bad feeling, even though I did not feel comfortable, I housed this feeling in my heart against that particular member of our church. But I didn't know what to do, and I did not do anything really with it. And Saturday night, it was a Christmas party night of our company. And for that company, we had this choir, which is assembled within the company with all the employees. We were supposed to sing Handel's Messiah, and particularly that number, which is a Hallelujah, to celebrate and to present that number in our Christmas party. And we all practiced very hard, and we were all very confident. I was the first one who is supposed to sing the soprano lead song. And it is a very important song because I cannot miss the beat, because right after my singing is supposed to lead the whole choir into a great singing. So that night we were supposed to start. But shortly before I was supposed to start, all of a sudden the music CD, instead of Messiah, the CD came out as a rock and roll music. Everybody just laughed, and I was nervous also. Then later on the CD, they put a right CD in. And because of that incident, I forgot to count my beats. I did not remember when I was supposed to get in. So I just, I lost my time, but somehow I sang very quickly, and somehow I did not miss a beat. And it seems like in that interim, I had a few seconds, which seems that time stopped. For that few seconds, my mind just went completely blank and bland. So I did not know what to do. But I realized very clearly something happened. The Lord tried to say something to my heart. I think everybody in the choir also realized that something happened. But somehow I just managed to sing very quickly and caught up with the time. And the whole song, I did not do anything bad to the whole song. But I certainly realized it is very important. Then the next morning, which is Sunday morning, I just came to church service. And during the service, again, I was very close to that sister, which I had feelings against. And she sang hymns very beautifully. Not only that, she confessed her sins. She cried. She cried very bitterly. She really confessed her sin. It was so sincere. It was so moving and touching. And all of a sudden, I realized that the Lord said to my heart, the real repentance is what really counts. Look at her. Real repentance is what pleases my heart. And because of that, I kind of shuddered at the thought that Lord is just talking to me right at that moment. So I felt uncomfortable. I felt a bit of weary. I was very self-conscious. I was very apprehensive. I had this feeling that everybody around me did not like me. And it seems everybody was against me. And that's simply my own personal feeling. Then at the end of the sermon, at the end of the service, the pastor called for all the those who wants to confess their sins before the Lord and can step forward to the come to the front of the chapel, which I did. I just went toward to the front, and I did not know when I knelt down, somehow something touched me, something changed me. I cried so loud. I cried so bitterly, I did not realize I would ever do that. And all of a sudden, I realized, well, the other sister I have had feelings against, she cried because it's the power of the Holy Spirit touched her. That's why she cried. But always I thought that she was putting on a pretense. She was putting on a show to show other people in the church. And she really repented. She really loved the Lord, that kind of thing. Not until then that I realized that it's because the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm doing exactly the same thing, which I just don't like about that particular sister. But now I'm doing the exact same thing. I'm crying out so loud. I'm crying out so uncontrollably. All because of everything and because the gesture the sister made about a year or two ago. Because I just had that, I just kept that thing in my heart. I would not let it go. So this is my old self. I have not dealt with it, which I need to work with it. The Lord is touching my heart. The Lord is giving me the message. I must deal with that particular aspect of my old self. So I want to say to everybody today, so I was put into the hands of the Lord. The Lord was dealing with me. The Lord wants me to deal with myself. I just today want to share this message with everyone here that if you fall into the hands of the Lord, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because the Lord wants to do something to you. The Lord wants you to work something out to deal with your old self. This ends the testimony of the sister. So we have been talking about this old self thing. And remember, we listed a few enemies. Our first enemy is our own sins. We cannot let the sins control us, to take control of our lives, to be seated on the throne of our hearts. So this is the first enemy, which is our sins. The second enemy, remember, we talked about Satan, the evil one, Satan himself. So this, he is our second enemy. It's also a very tough enemy because he was thrown down by God. See, because he knew his time on this earth is not long, too much longer. So he wants to bring as many as he can to bring with him into the pit of Hades. And the third enemy, we talked about old self. This is our biggest enemy. This is our toughest enemy, which is our old self. Remember, we also talked about Martin Luther once said, he is afraid of the old himself more than he is afraid of Pope. Because he thinks our old self is the biggest, is the strongest, the highest Pope in our heart. We also talked about why we are facing this spiritual warfare, because both Satan and God wants to establish his residence in each and every one of us. So that's why I said the toughest battlefield is in ourselves, is within us. It is just in our spirit, because Satan wants to establish his residence of filth in us. But God, at the same time, wants to establish his holy residence in us. So, like I said, we emphatically talked about the toughest battleground is within us. It is in our spirit. It is in our old self, which means we need to make a choice. Are we willing to fight against our own old self with the help of our Lord? And are we ready to just to be engaged in that kind of spiritual warfare? So our biggest enemy is our old self, is our self, is our flesh. Unfortunately, we all know very little about ourselves. Why? Because by nature, we just temper our old selves. We just meet the needs of our old self. It's just simply human nature. Without thinking, we are doing it and doing that anyway, because we want to just enjoy life. We want to just come up to provide for our desires and to meet our loves and the needs, all that. So we are born to pamper our own self. It's simply our human nature. Human nature actually is our sinful nature. So that's why our old self is all bad. Our old self is all rotten. There's nothing left in our old self which is acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. There's nothing in our old self that's left which is any good. The purpose that God created us, God wanted us to worship Him. God wanted us to love Him. But simply from our own natural sinful natures and our emotions, our natural born emotions, we do not want to love our Lord. We do not want to worship Him. We want to worship ourselves. We want to worship our own desires and the lusts. So our old self is completely corrupt. It is completely bad. Now, God, that's why God wants us to nail our old self together with Christ on that cross. So that's why Paul said, now the life in me is not my own life, but it's Christ that lives in me. So fellow Christians, we need to be very careful. If ever thoughts along the line like, I have forgiven so-and-so, I have forgiven so-and-so, this and that, I have forgiven this people, they did something, I have forgiven this person, he has done something wrong, I have forgiven this person, he has done something to hurt me, to harm me. When you sense you start to develop this kind of thoughts, or you start to have this kind of thoughts, which means you really need to deal with yourself, which means your old self is very much alive. He is not dead at all. Because the real Christian who has put death of his old self, he completely forgets about himself. He never even think about himself. He never even think about his old self. So the real conqueror of your old self is to forget about your old self. So be on your guard. If you think you have forgiven so-and-so, you have forgiven other people for the wrongdoings they have committed, for the hurts they have thrown in your way, all that, that tells you your old self is very much alive. Or, let me put it another way, is your bruised self is still alive. the old self is a hurt old self. The old self is a bruised old self. Because you still have this grumbling, you still have this complaining. All these senses are still very much alive in yourself because you are still centered around your thoughts, your feelings are centered around how you feel. You're centered around how you respond, centered around how much you have forgiven other people, which means all your thoughts are still centered around yourself. So this is what I call a bruised self or a prisoned self. It's even more damaging to you and to the people around you than your just a regular old self. So we really need to come to grips with the understanding of our old self. We really need to have this full understanding of our old self and the damages our old self can do to us and to the people around us. I know this particular Christian, this Christian brother, and he has this secretive personality, and his character is very secretive, very dark. He does everything speaks everything, talks everything behind other people's back. He is simply secretive, and he developed this personality, developed this character. It's because the way he grew up. After many years later, I talked to him, I realized that because when he was young, he grew up in a family, and when he asked something from his father, and most likely his father would flatly refuse. Then because of that, and his mother always rose to the occasion to protect him, to speak in his behalf. And because of that, the mother and the father behaved very differently in front of him. So he grew up like who was very good at finding excuses for himself, at finding speaking something and doing something secretly, and try to get his way in a roundabout way, rather than in a forthright fashion. So. Because of that environment he grew up, he developed this deeply rooted character, which is very secretive. He just did everything behind people's back. So he often just talked behind people's back with other people. Then once when these things were exposed, when other people learned about it, people just came to him to get things straightened out. And he did not change. Instead, he went to the person, he shared his views, he said, "Didn't I tell you not to let a cat out of the bag? How come you told other people about it?" So he continued this way, and it developed worse and worse. Things became worse and worse. Because he said so many untrue things about people. He said so many things in the secret behind people's back. So he needed to do a lot of things to cover up the things he said or the things he did or the lies he told to cover up whatever he did before. So it became really very bad, and so I talked to him, and he realized that he was doing that, and he also shared with me the background he grew up, why he became like that, and I also just sort of like analyzed the situation with him. I just consulted him with a few things he can do, he can change. But it seems he was at a loss. He couldn't do anything to it because he was completely at the control of this particular aspect of the old self. There's nothing he could do to change it, even though he wanted to do very badly. So he just simply grew up in this environment. The father was very stern and very strict, but his mother was very protective, and the mother just pampered her and spoiled him quite a bit. And because that's the way he grew up, he just became a very protective, self-protection person. And because of that, he became very secretive and developed this very dark personality. And finally, And the people, just John Clay, just went to him and they exposed what he said and what he did behind people's back. And it was kind of an ultimatum situation. And he was really cornered. There was no way out for him. And that was really a very big blow to him and to the way he behaved for years. And that really struck him and sort of like jolted him and forced him to wake up from his dark personality, from his secretive character. And he really need to face this issue before him, because people just joined forces and kind of like demanded a full explanation of him, and he was really put on the spot. So it just started to make him think, why when people approach me about this particular issue, I always just sort of like hold the grudges against the people, just tells on me, and why not instead I should be really dealing with myself. I should really hate myself. Why I'm doing this? Why I'm saying things secretly against people, behind people's back? Why I'm doing this? Why I'm saying this? Why I behave this way? Why don't I hate myself? Instead, I hate other people. Instead, I hold grudges against people, tells on me. I've been so wrong. So that day, not until that day, the Lord shed his light into his darkened spirit. And he realized it. He realized it. And as he started to see this picture clearly. And he just came to the Lord and really deeply repented for the way he had been for years. So because of that, he really began to see what a really darkened old self he has, and he was. So he realized that he really need to do something to deal with this aspect of his old self. After he really repented for his sins before the Lord, then every Sunday service, every special meeting, he sensed the presence of the Lord. He sensed the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And he often cried before the Lord. He just often just confessed the great sin he committed, not only against the Lord, also against other fellow Christians. And he started to realize the power of the Holy Spirit to change him, to come into his spirit, to change him, to touch his heart. And he really realized it before. He was such a poor Christian. He was so poor, and he had nothing in his spirit. And now he started to realize the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit not only come into him, also start to work in his heart. And his attitude toward life is changing. And his feelings toward the people around him changed. And he gradually become a bright person. And he felt every person around him and seems like more friendly and more lovely. And he starts to feel that he is able to enjoy his relationship with the people around him. So it is important, fellow Christians, it is very important, we need to find that particular aspect of our old self, which is very dark, which is very bad, and which is very sinful against other people and against the Lord. The Lord wants us to open up ourselves to the power of the Spirit, to invite the power of the Spirit to come into us, so the Spirit can change us. The Spirit can start to work in us, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, so we can change ourselves. We can make ourselves available for the Lord to have it changed. So we need to all the time come before the Lord to ask the Lord to enlighten us, to ask the Lord to shed his light into our inner chambers, so we can see, we can know what are the areas we need to deal with, what are our weaknesses, what are our strongholds, which are parts of our old self that needs to be just taken out. That needs to be rid of. Yes, many times being a Christian, you can enjoy the service, you can enjoy the worship, and you can even just experience anointing power of the Holy Spirit, and you can also be given the gift of speaking in tongues, all that. But if your old self, your old way of life is not touched, your old self is not dealt with by the Spirit, then still your life cannot be a blessing to others. You can serve at a church. You can do a lot of things at a church. You can help other people. You can just show the love of the Lord to other people. But if your old self is not dealt with, if you do not realize what are the aspects of your old self, which is in the way, which is the hindrance, which is the roadblocks in your spiritual growth, then your very own life cannot be a blessing to the people around you. So also, being a parent, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. If the being of two parents for issues before a child bring to you, then you just respond in there, in his face or her face, in his presence, you just respond differently. It's going to be very damaging to the growing up of your children. So be very careful. Being parents, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to know, we need to be equipped with this biblical knowledge how to bring our children up. Then being a Christian ourselves, we need to be very careful. We need to welcome these opportunities and these occasions when our old self was mercilessly dealt with. Our old self, different aspects of our old self, mercilessly exposed. That is something God has brought upon you to deal with your whole self, old self, to give you an opportunity to let your old self or a piece of your old self die on the cross. So our new life in the Lord is built gradually and slowly. So the book of James said, we cannot be tested by the Lord. We can only be tested by our own private, our just sinful desires and lusts. So that, it's a warning. It's a good warning for us. Once when we realize we have this lust, we have this inner desire, which is, we know it is against the will of the Lord, then it is a warning. So we are being tested. Then what we need to do, it is up to us. We need to just call on the name of the Lord. We need to ask help from the Spirit to deal with it, to put that desire to death on the cross. Then every time when we do that, then we are chipping away our old self. We are putting in more and more of our old self onto the cross to put to death. That's why our old self is gradually being dealt with. And because of doing that, at the same time, the new life of Christ is gradually being built in us. So instead, on the other hand, and without doing this, what we do is when we feel these desires, when we feel these lusts, and we talk to people, and often we just comfort each other, we say, well, it's just simply human nature. So what? Everybody is doing that. What's wrong with that, doing that a little bit? And if we do that, then we are just we're just pampering our needs. We are just meeting our own needs. We are trying to feed our desires and lusts. For example, when Christian conferences are coming up, and maybe one Christian can say, well, I don't want to go over there, because once when I go over there, and the bed is not my bed, so I'm not used to that. Normally I have this problem, because when I sleep in a different bed, I won't sleep well. And the Bible said, I need to love my body like Christ loved his church, because that's what the Bible teaches. Well, Bible does not teach that way. But the message in the Bible teaches that, because Bible is focusing on the relationship between a husband and a wife. Not because of you can't sleep in a different bed. So you can use that teaching to comfort yourself, to use it as an excuse for not going to the conference. So we need to be careful how we are going to apply the teachings of the Bible into our practical lives. So this I would, on the other hand, I would say, and this particular Christian, he is actually sort of like pampering his own private desires. He is not loving his body. So when your friends or fellow Christians at a church, when they just talk to you about the things or pointing out some areas in your life that needs to be worked by the power of the Holy Spirit, so do not do something like try to protect yourself, try to justify yourself why you did this, why you did that, why you behaved this way. So you need to be to listen very carefully why God sends someone to talk to you, why God sends someone to point out these areas of weaknesses that you need to work on. You need to let the power of the Spirit to come into heart to work in these areas for you. So be careful. Do not establish your old self, or let your old self grow stronger and stronger, become a stronghold in your heart, and it will be very tough for you to deal with. Instead, you should do just the opposite. Try to put pieces of yourself to the cross whenever occasion arises. So another area is like a curiosity. The old saying that curiosity kills the cat. Well, we Christians also suffer the sinful nature of curiosity. And it is also sometimes Christians' human nature. We just like to know the secrets of people's life. We like to know and share the weaknesses of other people. When other people were gossiping, and we oftentimes we just lend an ear, and we are very curious. We want to know what is going on. We want to know what wrongdoings people committed. We want to know the weaknesses of other Christians. It's simply our just sinful nature. So brothers and sisters, be very careful. Be very careful. This is an important aspect of our old self that needs to be dealt with, that needs to be put to death. And each and every one of us needs to be on guard, because this is our common area of weakness. It is very common. Almost everyone, to some degree, we suffer this particular area of weakness. So in these areas of weaknesses, in these areas of our old self-darkness, we really need to be very harsh towards ourselves. We really need to be very hard towards ourselves. Don't be lenient. Don't let yourself loose. Once when you sense that you suffer these areas of weakness, and you need to stand up to the occasion, you need to call on the name of the Lord, you need to ask the help from the Holy Spirit to deal with it, to put that to it. When it's very easy, when it is very small, you just deal it right away. Don't let it grow. Don't let it grow in you until it's so strong, until it's so tough, then it will be very, very difficult to get rid of. So curiosity is something we need to be very careful about it, particularly when we like to listen to the dark side of other people's lives or other people's weaknesses or other people's negative things. Then we really need to be very careful, Christian brothers. Remember the proverb said something along that line, like the gossip, people like gossip, just like people love delicious food. So which means it is it's simply our human nature. When gossip comes our way, we really love it. We love it the way we love delicious food. So that's why we need to be on guard. We need to be very careful about it. Do not fall into that pitfall. In the book of Joshua, remember, just shortly before they set out to enter into the land of Canaan, and Joshua just all of a sudden saw this commander of the Lord's army, and he did not know who he was, and he asked him, "Are you here to help me or against me?" And the commander of the Lord's army answered, "No, I'm not here to help you. I want to command the army of the Lord." So that tells Joshua, God wants us to stand on God's side, to fight against ourselves, to fight against our old self. So like that Christian brother who suffered that secretive personality, remember? And he can have an option before him. When he did something wrong, he can pray to God, "God, just help me. You come to help me so this secret will not be exposed. This whole thing will be covered up." No, God did not do that. God wants him to stand on God's side, to deal with himself, to deal with his dark personality, to deal with his secretive and sinful behavior. In the book of Esther, we all are familiar with this person, Haman. Haman in this particular book symbolizes our old self, our old self. Look, Haman was a very respected person, and because he enjoyed this very high social position, because of that, he was a very important person. He was a very big official in the court. So everybody needs to kneel before him. Everybody needs to honor him. But only one person refused to kneel before him. One person refused to honor him. Who is that? That's Mordecai. So even though the whole country, everybody honored Haman, but only one person, Mordecai, refused to do that. So Haman couldn't stand that. That's our old self. That's our old self. We want everybody like us. We want everybody to love us. But one person, as long as one person in our social circles who does not like us, our old self cannot understand that. And remember the end of the story. Haman was nailed to the cross. So that's the message. That's the message before you and me. God wants us to put our Haman in our heart to the cross. Haman must be put to death. That's why Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you need to carry your cross every day and deny yourself and follow me. So Jesus said, he gives us, each and every one of us, a cross. He wants us to carry our cross. That means that he wants us to put our human inness to that cross. That's what the message is about. Because our old self is a roadblock, so that's why we cannot grow spiritually. We cannot be pleasant in the eyes of the Lord. We cannot be acceptable in the eyes of the Lord because our human within us is not nailed to the cross. Oftentimes, we have so many blessings from the Lord, but are we thankful? Not really. But one small thing, which sort of like is nagging on our hearts, one small thing bothers us, we just complain to God, we just grumble against God. This is our old self. This is our old self that needs to be dealt with. So there was this medical doctor talks about a disease. A certain disease is when this patient is stricken with this disease, the patient will dance around, dance around an invisible object. And that's a very good example for us Christians, because we all have this demon within ourselves. We all have this old self within ourselves. We just dance around, circled around ourselves. Oftentimes, we dance around our own talents. We dance around our own pride. We dance around our own capabilities or gifts. We want other people to notice how smart we are, how capable we are in this particular area, how skillful we are doing this thing. We want people to dance around us. We want people to pay attention to us, not to God, but to our capability and to our talents, to respect us. Oftentimes, our old self is displayed by our self-centeredness. Our old self is very much interested in other people's attention and other people's focus and other people's respect. So a self-centered person is a person and who tries to feed his old self. And he is trying to feed his own self-sense of respect and self-sense of importance. So if we really want to put our old self to death, if we only want to be instrument in the hand of the Lord, we need to stop that. We need to stop that dancing around ourselves. We need to stop that circling around our own self-centeredness, our self-respect. And we need to change our attitude. We need to change our focus completely. So instead of focusing on ourselves, on my respect, on my public image, on how people look at me, on how people think of me, I need to just change my focus. Change my focus to pay attention to other people's needs, to other people's wounds and hurts, see how I can comfort them, how I can help them, how I can lend them sympathetic ear, and so I can share people's pain and I can help out. So often we Christians, our emotions are just so easily affected by other people's words and how other people behave toward us. So once people just had some hard words against us, and we felt depressed. And once when people just complimented us, then we are so puff-headed. So we just live. We live by the words, by how other people just behave around us. So we really need to ask the Lord to help set us free from this miserable bondage. So we no longer again live based on other people's words. Our moods and emotions are no longer swayed by other people's way of behavior or other people's reaction. So when we put our old self to death, then when other people is praised and we will appreciate that, we will really feel happy for other people instead of being jealousy. So when a person who put the old self to death, when other people are in trouble, when other people are in pain, and we will really just feel the same way. We will really just cry with them. We will share their pain. We will try our best to help them. We all remember the parable of the rich fool. And he is an extremely self-centered person. And in that parable, he is such a self-centered person that he used a lot of times, he used a big character. He used a big letter I. He said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my vines. I will build big ones. And I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, I have plenty of good things laid up for many years. I will take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. So that's why God responded to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Then the next verse said, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. So this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. So Christians, we need to ask ourselves this question. Am I just store up my reputation for myself? Am I store up my time just for my own enjoyment? Am I just storing up my money for myself and for my children? So am I doing all these things for myself? Am I all storing up these possessions, these material things for myself? Am I storing up to feed my own desires and lusts? So this is an important message for us. So we need to be set free from this control of our old self. There's this Christian sister. Let me call her Sister A. And this Sister A is very curious about other people's things, particularly about the romantic entanglements in the church. So she sends the Sister B in, knew something about. So she just talked to Sister B. She said, well, I heard something about romantic things between these people. And I know something, but I don't know all the details. So Sister B just filled her in on some of the details. Then later on, Sister A felt very wrong. What she did was wrong. So she confessed before the Lord. So not only that, she confessed her sins before the Lord. She repented. And she also went back to Sister B. She said, well, I need to tell you. I need to confess my sins before you also. I already did it before the Lord. But the Lord showed me, I just really lied before you. I tricked you into telling me. So that's why I said I knew something about this relationship. So you just, you were tricked into filling me about the rest of the story. And I think what I did was wrong. I lied to you. I tricked you into telling me the details. And I should not be doing that. So today I want to come to you to confess my sins before you. So this is a very good Christian example. This Sister A is a very good Christian because once she sensed that something she did was wrong, she immediately did something to it. She did not let it slide. She immediately confessed her sins before the Lord, and she also repented. Not only that, in addition, she also confessed her sins before Sister B. So she really put that piece of her old self onto the cross. She did a good job in that. So that's a good example before you and me. We really need to learn a lesson from her. On the other hand, if she let it slide and she did not do anything to it, even though the Lord showed her she was wrong, she did something bad, she could do that. If she let it slide, then she just cracked up an opening. So the old self not only will set footing in her, the old self will grow stronger, will grow tougher. And just like the Haman will be more elevated. So she would be more arrogant. The old self would be tougher to deal with. Like the testimony this sister shared with us today at the beginning. And before, when she saw another sister in the prayer meeting, she cried, she confessed her sin before the Lord, and she think, well, it's all just showmanship. You are putting on a show for all of us, and it is so pretentious, all that. Not until that time, like she shared with, not until when the Lord just shines His light into her and just showed her the area she needs to confess, and she realized that she only loves herself. That particular occasion, the Lord showed her she only loves herself and nobody else, and she confessed her sin. As she started to confess her sin, the Lord continued to touch her heart, and so much so, then she cried out very loud. She just confessed her sins, and she cried very bitterly and almost uncontrollably. Not until then she realized that before she criticized, she had feelings against the other sister confessed her own personal sins. She realized that this is the part of her old self which needs to be dealt with, which needs to be put to death on the cross. So before the Lord shines light into her, she did not know that that's the part of herself needs to be dealt with. She was so righteous, and she just used her standard to judge every other people. So she was so judgmental. But now she realized it, and she confessed her sins. So that's why in the book of The Final Crest, the author just gave us this beautiful picture, and which is also a picture is very very important for us to realize. That's the picture. The Satan of army was marching in the head, and the multitudes of Christians were captured by them. Why? Because all these Christians, these were the Christians, they have their bruised self and the prisoner's old self, which was not dealt with. All these old self, which was not put to death. So that's why these were the Christians, they were easy targets for the army of the evil force. So we pray that God will help all of us. He will shine His light into us, so we will know, we will be clear what are the parts of our old self needs to be put onto the cross. So instead of paying attention to other people, paying attention to finding faults with other people's words or deeds, we really need to change our focus. So we also need to protect ourselves. Protect our spirit and not to be contaminated. How? We need to stay away from gossip. We need to keep ourselves away from listening to other people's weakness, listening to other people's wrongdoings, listening to other people's the dark side of character, all that, or listening to other people's problems and troubles. We need to stay away from that. So by doing this, we can keep our spirit from being just bruised and ruined. Also, by doing this, we will just refocus our attention. We will refocus our just energy on spending time with the Lord. We will be focusing on the things of the Lord, on the heavenly things, on the service in the church for the kingdom of God. So, Christian brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. If our spirit is filled with the trash of other people, then there's no room in us to just receive the blessings of the Lord, to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And also, once I just noticed one Christian sister in my congregation, she was not an honest person. She said a lot of things were not true, and that caused some trouble. And when first few times when I heard the people reporting to me, I did not do anything. I needed guidance from the Lord what I could do to help out in the situation. Then later on, the thing seems getting worse. So I approached this sister. I said, well, sister so-and-so, you said something which is untrue. And the people reported to me, so I need to approach you and to talk to you about this issue. So the two of us, we prayed together. And this sister also confessed some sins, some wrongdoings in this area. But even during our prayer time together, I sensed that she was confessing only some superficial things and small things, only trivial things and not major things. And that's not really going to help her. And she did that. So, but anyway, I just left at that. But later on, and things still was not changing. Then again, I approached her few more times. And finally, I just got very direct with her. I said, well, even though you love the Lord very much, you serve the church, you tried very hard to serve for the Lord. But without dealing with your own sin and your dark side, probably all this is amounting to nothing. You really need to deal with your old self. That you know what I'm talking about. And you really need to confess your sin wholeheartedly and completely before the Lord. Otherwise, your service before the Lord is amounting to nothing. So after that, and she really thought about it, and she was willing to confess her sin before the Lord. So she really prayed before the Lord, and she did go ahead, confess her sins completely and thoroughly. Not only that, she did that numerous times, and she did that continually in all sorts of meetings and services. And finally, the Lord, during one time she spent her time before the Lord showed her this vision. There's this person, and this person was covered with a very hard mask. The Lord just stripped very strongly, stripped the hard mask from this person's face. And because of that, this person's face was badly bruised, and parts of the face was not even covered by skin. So it's very bloody, very just a terrible looking face. But just at that instant, all of a sudden she felt this great relief that came upon her. Then she realized suddenly that this person was herself. The Lord just revealed this picture to her to help her, because she completely and wholeheartedly confessed her sins before the Lord for lying. Now the Lord really helped her to strip the facade, strip away the mask she has put on her face. So she had been living her life for this many years behind this mask, this ugly mask. Now, yes, it is painful when you took away, you have that mask taken away. But from now on, she can be a very relaxed, direct person and forthright person. She did not need to lie to people anymore. So she can be a very happy person. But yes, to have your mask of yourself, your old self taken away, is a painful process. But you and I need to somehow, somewhere along the line, to stand up to the occasion to face this issue. There's no way out. We need to deal with this. This also tells us this message. Every time, every opportunity comes our way that the Lord wants us to chip away part of our old self, it is a painful process. It is a painful process because it's simply against our human nature. We don't like to do it. We don't want to do it deep in our heart. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the help and guidance of our spirit, we should be empowered. We should have this courage to deal with it. We should be bold enough. We should be strong enough to put that part of our old self to the cross. So the new life of Christ can be built in us. So when other people confront us, come to us to point some things in our area which need to be worked out, we really need to be very attentive to what they say. Because nobody is willing to come to you to point these weaknesses in your area which need to be brought up to service. Nobody likes to do that. So that person must be sent by the Lord to you. So you need to lend an attentive ear to that. You need to be very careful, because that's an opportunity the Lord has presented before you and me to take another part of our old self and to trash it, to get it out of us, to put it on the cross. So that person can be your pastor, can be your fellow Christians, can be your boss, can be your business partners, can be even your spouse or your parents. So brothers and sisters, when this happens, don't let it slide by you. Just jump on the opportunity and let the Lord work through you. There's this pastor. Because of some task of the service in the church, there's this divorcee, a sister in the church. The two of them work together a lot. Then gradually they developed this relationship. The friendship evolved into a romantic relationship. Finally, they ended up with this illicit sexual relationship. And finally, this thing was made known. That really depressed the pastor a great deal. And he just fell into this deep remorse and depression. Then the Lord showed him this version during his personal time with the Lord. And the Lord showed him this picture with two children. Two children were playing. There was this yardstick. One child was trying to put up this yard, to straighten up this yardstick. But the other child was trying to bring it down. And the two of them, they were playing and fighting against it. One tried to raise the yardstick. Another tried to put it down. So the Lord showed the pastor, because you were like that. You were like the child who tried to raise that, to erect that yardstick, because you put up these standards for yourself. You want to be a good Christian. You want to be a good pastor. You want to set a good examples before all the Christians. You want people to respect you. You want to have this good public image before the congregation, all that. You set up so many yardsticks for yourself. The Lord said, you need to do away with all this. You know what you need to do. I have shown you. So the pastor just came to the pulpit, the public confessing sins, and he repented, and because of that, and he became a new person. He became a new person first before the Lord. Then he became a new person to himself. Because the way he looked at upon himself is completely changed. Because he now became the second child in the vision. He put down all these yardsticks he set up against himself. And the church, the congregation, lovingly just accepted him. And since he confessed his sins, he stopped that sexual relationship with that divorcee in the church. So he became a new person. He became a new Christian. So he was such a relaxed new Christian and new pastor before the congregation. The congregation loved him even more than before. So he, instead of focusing on himself, focusing on his self-respect and self-image, and he focused on one thing and one thing only. He said, Lord, he prayed every day. He said, Lord, I want to enjoy your love. I want your love to fill me. I want you to make me an instrument, make me a pipe. Through me, your love will flow to others. So Lord, help me to do that. So because of that, he prayed every day like this. So he brought a group of Christians of his church. They just approached a local Pizza Hut. And they said, well, we want to help. We want to volunteer our work to clean your bathroom for you. The Pizza Hut manager was so surprised. He said, well, our bathrooms was just cleaned this morning. We don't need your stuff, but we really appreciate it. And you guys really surprised us. I have never seen Christian people preaching the gospel the way you did. And because of that, then the pastor said, well, since you don't need our service, and right across the Pizza Hut, there's this big supermarket. So he brought this group of Christians. They went to the supermarket to offer the same service. And the supermarket was very, very surprised and happily accepted their service. So they spent the whole morning over there just cleaning the bathroom. When the whole work is done, and they just returned to the Pizza Hut to buy a lunch. When the Pizza Hut manager was surprised to see them finish their job, they did their job in the supermarket. The Pizza Hut manager was very touched. He said, well, you showed your love to the people of this place. Well, let me just show you the same kind of love. I want to provide you a free lunch. The lunch is on me, on the shop. You guys enjoy this lunch. Because I was really touched by your love, demonstration of the love of, from Christianity. So he just prayed out loud before the manager and in the face of all this group of Christians, you know, see, Lord, I thank you so much. You loved us so much. And you showed us this way by providing us this free lunch. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your truth. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your gospel. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for everything. So this pastor became a new person. He completely changed. He is no longer concerned or worried about himself anymore, or worried about his self-image. All he is concerned about is the only one thing, Lord, make me an instrument so you can use to spread the gospel, so you can use to preach your love. Because of that, brothers and sisters, he does not have any time to sing anymore. He does not have any time to care for his own self-image or self-respect, all things along that line. He is only focused on the love of the Lord and how to demonstrate the love of the Lord to other people. So brothers and sisters, you and I can be that pastor also. We can be that pastor also. We can be a Christian like that also. We need to change our focus. We need to change our focus. So another thing we need to do is sometimes Lord bring people into our lives which cause us a lot of grief and pain. And that person may be our spouse, may be our parents, may be our co-workers, all that. Then if that's what's happening in your life, you need to love that person more. You need to use the love of the Lord to love him, because simply by yourself you cannot love him. But yes, with the love of the Lord you can. Remember the story of Joshua conquering the city of Jericho? So the land of Canaan is land of abundance. That Lord wants to bring you and me too. But before you can enter into the abundance of the Lord, we need to take the city of Jericho, which symbolizes it is our old self. We need to take the city of our stronghold, which is our old self. We need to conquer that. We need to be victorious over that. Let's turn to chapter 6 of Joshua. Chapter 6 of Joshua, chapter 10. Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voice. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. See, this is the command given by the Joshua to the Israeli people, to the Hebrew people. Don't utter a word. Don't utter a word. What does that message tell us? Not only that, every day they circle around the city silently once. Then on the very last day, they circle around the city seven times. God is teaching us through this story. If we need to topple the high wall of the Jericho, we need to conquer the giants occupying the city, which is our very self, we need to be a silent person. We need to be silent before the Lord. We need to spend time waiting on the Lord silently and quietly in our inner chamber. We need to spend time before the Lord. We need to draw near the Lord. We need to focus on the Lord. We need to spend time waiting on Him every day so that we give our God a chance to work to us and work in us. We give our God a chance to speak to us, to speak to our heart, to speak to our spirit. We give God a chance to shine His light into us so we will know what are the parts of ourselves we can work, we can fight against, we can just conquer, we can put that part of our own self to the cross. We can nail the strong Haman, the elevated Haman within our spirit to the cross. Put him to death. Put him to death. Christian brothers and sisters, this is a very basic fundamental message through the story of the city of Jericho, conquering the city of Jericho. So Christian brothers, before we can enter the life of abundance of Christ, we have to conquer the city of Jericho. This is ourselves. The city of Jericho is the stronghold of our old selves. So it is, I know, it is difficult to conquer it. So that's why the story said we need to circle around the city in complete silence. We need to obey our Lord. We need to be always on our guard. We need to always be alert to the teaching of the Word, or to the teaching of our God. That's why we need to wait upon the Lord, wait on God every day. We need to spend time in silence before God every day, so God can work in us and through us. By spending time before the Lord in silence, by waiting on God in silence, actually we are trying to keep ourselves in the presence of the Lord. We try to keep ourself in intimate fellowship with the Lord. So our spirit will be nurtured by the Lord. Our spirit will be strengthened and empowered by the Lord. We can become a strong Christian. We can become strong spiritually. We will be empowered to, we have been with more strength to fight against our old self. Our old self is the city of Jericho. Our old self is the elevated Haman. It is the arrogant Haman which needs to be nailed to the cross. So sometimes when we fail miserably in spiritual matters, we tend to cry out, throwing our arms in the air and crying, Lord, I failed again. What can I do? I hate myself. I hate myself because I failed again, because I can't do anything to myself. Brothers and sisters, don't hate yourself. Don't hate yourself. You really need to hate the parts of your old self in your spirit. That's the part you need to hate. You need to pray to the Lord, I hate my pride. Lord, I hate my self-respect. Lord, I hate my self-centeredness. Lord, I hate my self-sense of capability. Lord, just help me. Help me to nail these parts of me to the cross. Brothers and sisters, just don't hate yourself. But you and I really need to look very carefully, to need to examine our inner self, find out what are the parts of our stronghold of the old self. That needs to be broken down, like the wall of the Jericho. Then we can conquer this giant. Once these parts are cleared for you, and once the Lord shines light in your spirit and in your heart, you and I need to step forward and pray to God, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me strength and also give me courage to fight against it. And just help me and fight with me against my old self. I'm determined to put my old self to the cross. Lord, come into my life. Come into my life and grow in me. Grow in me. And at the same time, when you put parts of yourself to the cross, then the new life of the Christ will grow in you. So any Christian, if you want to be a Christian who can enter the abundant life of Christ, you need to be a soft person before the Lord. A person who is gentle, who is soft, who is very changeable before the Lord, and who is moldable before the Lord. So the Lord, anytime He can work in you, work through you, and work about you, so you will become more and more molded into the image of Jesus Christ Himself. Also, another important thing we need to do to be a Christian who can put himself to death is be a thankful person before the Lord. Be thankful in everything, even in small things, even sometimes in some of the unpleasant things in your life, because anything happens to your life, there's a purpose. There's a purpose from the Lord and by the Lord to work something out in your life. So be a thankful person before the Lord. That's another thing will help you to be more empowered to fight against your old self and put your old self onto the cross. Let's sing hymn 138. Here terminates today's message.